Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison. Been a little while since I've done one of these. That's because I've been furiously preparing my own students for their upcoming exams, so I hope you'll forgive me for that one. But anyway, we are back, and the plan is to continue our story of Richard and John. This podcast is going to focus on the first part of the Third Crusade and Richard's military victory at Acre. So let's just jump straight into that. So Acre then is a port in the Holy Land. It's an important port in the Middle East, and it's often the sort of first place the Crusaders will arrive at after they have left Messina. Now, it was important to control this for the Crusaders because it meant that if they take control of this, they can continue to send more troops, continue to send more weaponry, and continue to send more goods, and that they could arrive safely. Now, actually, when the Crusaders arrive at Acre, they already find it under attack by some Crusaders. When Saladin had taken Jerusalem in 1187, he had famously set the Christians who were residing there, living there, he set most of them free. Okay, he let the women and the children and many of the troops go as well. And this included Guy de Lusignan, who was king of Jerusalem at the time. And he let them go on the proviso, you know, with them swearing that they would go home and not attack him. Of course, Crusaders go back on their word and they leave Jerusalem. They pick up their swords and they start attacking Acre in the hope that they would be able to secure it. And that would make it easier for more Crusaders from Europe to come and win Guy his crown back. So he and his fellow Crusaders are attacking Acre when the Crusaders arrive. Philip arrives first, closely followed by Richard. Now, Richard gets a hero's welcome. Okay, he is the rock star in terms of his reputation in Europe. He is a medieval celebrity. Okay, he's renowned for being the most powerful warrior in all of Christendom, Western Europe. So when he arrives, he gets a huge hero's welcome, which is another thing that annoys Philip. Remember, of course, Philip Augustus and Richard had already began to fall out. Tensions had already begun to increase between them. Of course, that was the focus of the last podcast, so I'm not going to go through that in too much detail here. But this is just another reason why they fell out, okay? Philip is once again jealous of Richard's fame. And Richard arrives. Now, remember, Richard had introduced the Saladin tithe back at home. And he had done that so that he could build an army unlike any other that had ever been seen. Okay, it was state of the art, the best ships, the best weaponry, and he brought siege machines, things like catapults. Okay, so when he arrived with his specialist weapons, it made taking Acre easier. Actually, tipped the balance. Okay, so yeah, Philip helped. Okay, Conrad of Montferrat helped, and Richard tipped the balance when he arrived with his siege machines, and it made taking Acre easier. So the Muslim troops at Acre surrendered on the 12th of July 1189. So that's the 8th of June 1189, excuse me. Okay, so yeah, Acre surrenders, and this is a huge military victory for the Crusaders, and indeed Richard personally. It's at Acre that Richard formally gains the nickname the Lionheart and all of the connotations that come along with that. It's obviously the name we still think of him as today, and he earns it at Acre, showing you how successful he was in battle. And to make matters even better for the Crusaders, Saladin's fleet, his ships, had been in port when the Crusaders took Acre. So after they captured Acre, they captured Saladin's ships. Saladin's forces were no longer able to attack the Crusaders from the sea. So this was an absolutely fantastic military victory for him. Now, Richard took some 2,600 Muslim troops, captive, along with some women and children, and he agreed that he would be that they would be spared, sold back to Saladin for some ransom. And in particular, Richard had his eyes on a relic called the True Cross. Now, the True Cross was a piece of wood that Christians believed was part of the cross that Christ was crucified on. And it was the Franks, actually, that used to carry it into battle. And it was lost to the Christians in 1187 when Saladin took Jerusalem. When he takes Jerusalem, he captures the True Cross. Now, Richard would have known this, and he would have wanted it back. So he was hoping to ransom these troops back to Saladin in return for the True Cross. But of course, Saladin had absolutely no interest in doing that. He wasn't bothered about relics, okay? It wasn't part of his religion. To him, it was literally just a piece of wood, meant nothing. But he knew that if he gave it back to the Crusaders, that that would be a huge morale boost to them. And he had absolutely no interest in doing that, okay? Even so much so that he was willing to sacrifice his sort of 2,600 odd soldiers that Richard had captive. He also knew that if he ransoms the soldiers back, then Richard would be able to move away from Acre and continue his attack. Okay, in the Middle Ages, in medieval times, it was not the done thing to just slaughter prisoners. Life meant something in medieval times, okay? So Saladin was using this as his tactic. He knew that Richard, as a man of honour, wouldn't be able to just kill these prisoners. But he couldn't leave them behind either, and he couldn't let them go, because if he let them go, they'd just attack Richard back. And this is 2,600 troops. This is a lot of guys, okay? So Richard is stuck. And Saladin knows this, and he knows as long as he can keep Richard in Acre, he's not going to be able to march on Jerusalem. Now, he knows he will eventually, but in the meantime, Saladin can build up his forces. So Richard has a huge dilemma here, okay? What does he do? He's got these prisoners. He considers himself a man of honour, but he can't stay there forever. He's worried about how he's going to feed them and the cost of that. He's worried that if he leaves them at Acre and continues his crusade, he's going to have to leave some soldiers there to guard him. He's already lost some of Barbarossa's troops. He knew he couldn't lose any more crusaders. Okay. He was worried about what his own troops would think of him if he just lets them all go. That doesn't make him look like a very powerful king. So in the end, ladies and gentlemen, and we think it was great pain to Richard, probably, Richard feels forced, and on the 20th of August, 1191, he marches all of those soldiers out into the open ground, onto a platform where the surrounding Muslim troops that were watching Acre could see, and he had every single one of them massacred in cold blood. I'm guessing he figured that if he can't use them for ransom, he may as well use their death as a weapon, okay, to strike fear into the hearts of the Muslim troops. Also around this time as well, Philip goes home. Philip goes home. The rivalry between Richard and Philip had come to a head. Philip was jealous of Richard's successes in Sicily and conquering Cyprus. Okay, he was angry at the fact that Richard and Philip were both competing for crusaders for the services of knights, and Richard could pay more, so he had the best knights in his army. Okay, he was angry at the fact that Richard had spurned Alice and married Berengaria instead. He was angry that Richard kept the Vexin, the area of land that was given to Richard by Philip as a sort of gift for the wedding to Alice, which never took place. He was angry at the fact that Richard wanted a different man to be king than Philip. Okay, and finally, Philip began to realize that actually he would be better placed at home. Whilst Richard is on crusade, he's not at home able to look after or protect his own lands in the Angevin Empire. And to make that even worse, a very important baron, the Count of Flanders, had died at Acre in the battle. Okay, now he was a very important, very powerful baron. So without him, the Angevin Empire was weakened massively. So Philip saw this as an opportunity to seize the Count's lands and increase his influence back home. Now Richard desperately tried to persuade Philip to stay, and Philip agreed, but on the proviso that Richard would give him half of the spoils of Cyprus. Remember, Richard had conquered Cyprus when Berengaria and Eleanor of Aquitaine were taken hostage there on the way. Okay? But Richard refused. He refused, saying that their agreement was to share crusade-related gains, and that Cyprus didn't count because it had happened on the way to the Holy Land. That was the final straw, folks. On the 3rd of August, Philip returned home. Most of the French forces actually left behind. They stayed to fight with Richard because they were crusaders and they wanted to take back Jerusalem. But some of the troops left with Philip. And of course, Philip Augustus, Philip II, is a huge personality, a king. And leaving the crusade massively weakened it. So you've got to remember, three kings set off on the Third Crusade. Okay, Barbarossa, Philip II, and Richard. And after the first battle, only one of those kings still remains. Just as a final point, he isn't the only important person that leaves the crusade at this point. On the crusade during the entire time was Leopold I, Leopold of Austria. Now, he'd actually taken over control of the German forces when Barbarossa had died. So he wasn't a king, but he was an extremely important baron with a lot of power. And he'd been at Acre, okay? And he had shared in that victory. He'd been a major part in that win, if you like. So when Acre is conquered by Richard and Philip, they raise their banners, which is like their flags, their colours, above the ramparts, up on the wall, so that all could see that the crusaders were in charge or in control of Acre. Leopold of Austria had his banner raised along with the other two, you know, thinking that he had an equal share in the victory. But Richard disagreed. Richard was furious at the arrogance of Leopold. Leopold's not a king. How dare he raise his banner equal to an equal level of the two kings? So Richard ordered it be ripped down and dragged through the mud. This was a huge dishonour to Leopold. He took it as a huge disrespect. And Leopold leaves the Crusades with some of his troops along with Philip. So what you've got to do at this point, folks, is sort of gauge and judge Richard's performance as a leader here, as a king. You know, how is he doing? Yes, okay, fantastic warrior. He's been successful at Acre, and Acre really is only a successful siege because of Richard's arrival. But he's alienated some of the most important crusaders around him. Some of his actions has led to a fallout with Philip II, a fallout which is intensified so badly that Philip feels the need to go home. And he's also ostracized Leopold, who is an important baron. And as we're going to see later on in the story, this has a huge repercussion for Richard later on, one that he is going to come to regret hugely as the Third Crusade comes to a close. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Acre. That is the start of the Third Crusade and the first battle, Richard's first victory. I'm going to continue the story in the next podcast. I hope you'll join me then. Ladies and gentlemen, keep working hard. It really will pay off in the end. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.